Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. As we show Hole on Main, I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
We're starting with three holes.
The elusive third hole.
Elusive to who?
I guess that's a fourth hole joke. The elusive fourth hole.
Yeah. Anyways, Zach, I have some news for you.
Yeah?
We're going to see more than three worms today.
We will. And, you know, try as I might, I could not get an accurate count of how many worms there are.
I
think we can only approximate.
Yeah, I have an approximation. And we'll get to that when we get to that, yeah. Because we are starting with the third worm. We're starting talking about minute 137 through 138 of Dune Part 2.
Thank you.
We get the third worm impacting the ground, and all three rush towards the camera, and we get one of the transitions that I love, where the camera just gets eaten by a giant monster or run over by a train or like hit by a car or something, and then it just hard cuts to something else.
When I saw this, I jumped away from my computer screen.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, because yeah. I remember that the very first movie that I ever went to go see was it was called Train Leaves Station. And what? And it was an old movie, but it scared the shit out of me, John.
Okay.
Do you not know this movie? This is a joke that I feel like it's going over your head.
Just the name of this movie, Train Leave Station.
One of the very first motion pictures that was shown in theaters was someone put up a movie camera and filmed a train, you know, coming towards the camera as it left a station.
Sure.
And they showed this in theaters and people freaked the fuck out because they thought the train was going to hit them. Now that might be a apocrypha and you know a tall tale, but it's a very funny tall tale. Train Leave Station, but that's what I got. That's kind of the feeling that I got here. Just camera engulfed by hole,
sucked by worm.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now these worms are they're not diving underneath the sand. They're kind of going at about a half submersion.
Yeah, we get a nice side, a profile view, mm-hmm. as it were, of some worm action here. And we've seen it before with, you know, Paul and all the other Fremen making their way south on their 20 thumper trip. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Worms, for whatever reason, can just go super fast, halfway submerged, and we see that here.
Yep.
We see the riders. Unsure if the rider in focus is Stilgar or if it's someone else.
I assumed it was.
We see a nice, crisp Atreides banner, though.
Yeah, we do. Now, way back in our coverage of the first movie, we did some math on the speed of a worm.
That one particular worm was traveling about 25 miles an hour.
Yeah.
These worms seem to be going a little bit faster than that.
Yeah, a fair amount faster. Now, they're also traveling into a headwind because, as we spoke about yesterday, the storm is sucking all the wind backwards.
Sure.
So that would make their indicated speed a lot higher than their actual ground speed.
Okay.
So that's... What I'm basing that on is the banner flapping real hard in sure. the wind. Yeah, it's going to be hitting from both sides, basically. You know, it's getting the forward motion of the worm and the relative to the worm backwards motion of the wind.
Sure.
So it's not a very true gauge of their ground speed, just looking sure. at your flag indicated speed.
You know,
that's all I'm saying.
You know, it's a more interesting way to gauge their ground speed is the next shot that we have on the ground.
Yeah, of them just fucking
watching Sardaukar just like sprinting and like tripping over each other as this worm is just like mowing them down, doing a little snack.
Well, right before we cut away from this, we get some shouting in Chukopsa, mm-hmm. which would be our contributing to words this week if they were translated, but they are not translated, so it is just random sounds.
I think it's something along the lines of
Go get them, boys.
Yeah, the fucking tally-ho lads. Yeah.
However you do a...
As I sit at the top of my stairs with grape shot loaded in a cannon.
However you do a transatlantic accent in Jacopsa, that's what he's doing. Go get them, boys.
Oh, God.
And I'm assuming this is Stilgar. He's, again, just so happy.
Yeah. Having the time of his life.
These worms are just mowing through the camp and all the structures that they've built. Like, they are fucking nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Sardaukar are fleeing all around them.
And then we cut to the skies.
We do. Yeah, we do. We do.
We see a formation of many ornithopters flying. And it looks like we're setting up a Tan Jins versus the... whatever the Sardaukar equivalent to the Blue Angels is going to be.
I did just say there's a bunch of, I'll say this is really applying to next, tomorrow's minute, but, I did say it's a bunch of dusty grays fighting dusty tans.
The dusty grays versus the tan gins.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, cool. I can get with that. Yeah, there's 26 ornithopters flying together in motion, or in formation, presumably from the other side of the Imperial tent, because I would assume any, you know, vehicles that were on the ground at this point are long destroyed, whether it was from the initial blast or now the worms that are just wreaking havoc on everything. And, you know, we get a little bit of some worm on machinery action here.
We do.
Which this is the first time that we get some of that.
Are you talking about where it just hits this transport ship?
Yeah, we get one worm just barreling right into the side of the transport ship. We get other worms.
Nothing.
We get other worms just straight up eating some of the smaller vehicles. Mm-hmm. And we get a little explosion from the first transport ship hitting another one.
Yep. And it is knocking this ship away like it is nothing. Like it weighs nothing to this worm.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this worm is just like, oh, this big ass piece of metal? Watch this, bitch. Just shoves it.
Yeah. So after this aerial shot of the worms is kind of like tearing their way through the inner circles of this camp, we get a shot of the ornithopters coming to intercept the worms.
Sure.
And they're firing, you know, the missiles, which seem to be doing nothing to these worms.
Well, some of them just straight up aren't even hitting the worms. They're just hitting their own people, which I think is pretty, pretty funny. And then one of the worms does get hit by a missile, but it's just like, okay, cool. Oh, what's that? Guess what? I've spent my entire life underground rubbing against sand. You think I don't have the thickest fucking skin right now to just deflect your little bitch ass missile? Nah.
So one of the Fremen on the back of what I'm assuming, and I'm just going to keep calling it Stilgar's worm here.
It's the safest description that we have.
He's got a rocket launcher.
And I have a beef.
You have a beef?
Yeah, I have a beef.
Go for it.
So he shoots a rocket launcher out of the ornithopter.
Mm-hmm.
We see the rocket just pass right through the shield.
Yeah, there was no burying into the shield.
Yeah,
no delay.
It's just like instant.
We did get a shield glimmer.
Yeah. But he hits the Fremen hits the ornithopter right on the tail, causes this one ornithopter to spin out and collide with another one. There's a third one that's like kind of turning and starting to shoot its machine gun. Now,
did it collide with another one?
It looked like it did.
I initially thought that too. And I went back and rewatched. I did your stupid frame by frame shit. It didn't. It almost did.
Okay.
But it didn't. No, that second one that's in the formation, which I guess was the lead one in the formation, just goes straight nose into the storm.
Okay. Well, all three of them make their way into the storm. And, you know, there's no real question of what happens because we just see a bunch of fireballs from behind the dust.
Yep.
So get good, I guess.
Yeah. We were told this would happen with Paul and Jessica as they entered the storm in that old ass ornithopter from the testing station.
The Nexus.
The Nexus, thank you. And obviously it didn't because they climbed above the storm. But this is what happens when you don't climb. And if you get it right into the thick of it, right at the bottom, apparently you explode.
Yep.
So,
I mean, it's safe to say that there's probably still a bunch of rocks and shit getting picked up and tossed around in the storm. So
sure, sure.
Or who knows? They collided with themselves. Point is, they're all dead.
Now, we do not get to sit and relish with this explosions for too long, because we cut to a figure standing on an open plain, on open ridge.
Yeah, and all of our loud attack music, hard cut as well. It's like silent, but we get some like tribal drumming and stuff in the background.
Exactly.
It's Paul.
Oh, I know. I put in parentheses that it's Paul, but... Yes. Okay. So he's in his long black robes.
He's got his long black robes. He's got, you know, his cape is blowing in the wind. His headgear dress shawl is also blowing in the wind. Very reminiscent of the shot as he's approaching the Southern Siege with Shai Hulud cresting in the background in that other shot. But here, instead of Shai Hulud cresting in the background behind him, we have the sounds of thousands of these... fundamentalists.
The fundamentalists are here.
So in our last couple seconds are of them just beginning to spill over the dunes behind Paul.
Yeah. It's very much like there's scenes in Lord of the Rings about like this.
To me, it reminded me very much of like the scenes of the Dothraki season one of Game of Thrones.
Back when it was good.
Back when it was good. Yep. We don't talk about the last 2.5 seasons, that's for sure.
My favorite of the Mummy franchise, the Scorpion King, has a scene like this with the Scorpion King's army coming into
effect. Also notably, fantastic CGI in that film as well.
Yep. No notes. our minute ends... As we're hearing these shouts and seeing them cresting the dunes. Oh boy. The fundamentalists are here. And you know these fuckers are going to fuck shit up.
Yep. Oh, buddy.
Well, I want to talk about it, man. So let's meet back up tomorrow and figure out what the hell they're going to do.
Who knows?
They might just stop like the storm. They just could stopped. Just
be like, you know what? We brought everyone some food. It's time for a picnic.
That'd be nice. I could go for a picnic right now. Get a little hungry, a little peckish.
I mean, I could just get some food and just eat it here.
But then you'd miss out on the social aspect, which I know you don't.
Am I missing out? Anyways, the fundamentalists are certainly bringing a picnic and nothing else to all these Sardaukar, but we'll talk about that more tomorrow. In the meantime, you can find us online. We are on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us there. We'll see you tomorrow for a Thursday episode, and a little bit of a spoiler, it's almost the Chani Minute podcast for tomorrow, but we'll talk about that then.
All right. See you then.